Good morning once again, everyone. You know, I'm going to start by saying that the very first thing, the question that most people asked me when I became a minister, and so apropos for today, was, so what do we call you now? What do we call you now? Someone said, Reverend Richard? I said, that's a little too formal. How about Rev Rich? A little too Scooby-Doo, right? Ed Rosequist said, I got it, R squared. He said it with such authority, I thought, R squared it is. But then Boyd Black came up with this one, Reverend Maestro Richard McDeasy, Minister of Music. And I'm like, yeah, baby, I can get into that. I can get into that. That was great. But the thing was, it was really important to people to know what to call me now. They would say, so what is your name? What do we call you now? As if now somehow I was different. So what isn't a name? Here's a name, Peter Hernandez. Some of you may know who this is, some of you probably don't, but Peter Hernandez is none other than pop star Bruno Mars. What a great name. How about this one? Most of us know this one, Stephanie Germanotta, the fabulous, amazing Lady Gaga. That's right. Here's another one for you. Mark Sinclair, sounds like the guy in the next cubicle, right? Regular name. But Mark Sinclair is the star of all the Fast and Furious films, none other than Vin Diesel. Yeah. Here's one only maybe people my age might know, Jerry Dorsey. Pretty common name, right? But Jerry changed his name to something very uncommon. Engelbert Humperdinck. That's right, ladies. Engelbert, I'm here. The crooner. And here's one I didn't really know, wasn't aware of, Karen Johnson. Nothing special about that name, nothing stands out, right? But Whoopi Goldberg. That's a name that stands out. That name stands out. Now, these artists, you know, names are important in the entertainment industry, and these artists chose a name that they wanted to exemplify who they were. They wanted it to exemplify an image that they wanted to project and something they wanted to embody in their careers. But at what point did Peter become Bruno? At what point did Karen, you know, become Whoopi? Because these are great names, right? Whoopi is a great name for a comedian. And Lady Gaga, what better name for a pop star icon? And Vin Diesel just sounds like an action hero. So they created names that they wanted to embody and an image they wanted to project out to the world today. But when did Jerry become Engelbert? Right? When did Sinclair become Diesel? And that's the point we're at today. Today we're at a point where we're going to take part in our yearly ritual of release and renewal that we call the White Stone Ceremony, the day you become someone new in consciousness and begin embodying and embracing what that name represents to you. But unlike these celebrities, you're not going to tell the whole world your name. You're not going to change it on your driver's licenses or your birth certificates. This is a name known only to you. A name that's just between you and God. So the White Stone Ceremony evolved from this passage in Revelation 2:17. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. To everyone who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give a white stone. And on the white stone is written a name that no one knows except the one who receives it. So if you've received one of your gift bags, those red gift bags we passed out, you're going to find in there two white stones that look just like this. There they are. Two white stones that look just like this. These white stones actually came from the Holy Land. They were mined from white stones in Hebron, Israel, and imported here to the United States. So, and if you don't have one, you can always come by the church and pick one up if you would rather write your name on one of these. But for today, you can just write your name on anything you have, a piece of paper, a stone, any kind of keepsake, just something to write that down on and preserve it. And then, and when you want to come by the church to pick it up, you can. So here's the interesting thing. In case you didn't know already, the book of Revelation begins with the words, "The revelation of Jesus Christ." So these are actually, this is actually Jesus speaking to the churches. And back then, the churches were just congregations. There were no brick and mortar churches. This is Jesus speaking to the believers of the way, the writer of Revelation, whom we believe to be John, disciple John. So Jesus is saying, to everyone who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna. What does this mean? Well, we all might remember manna being that food that was dropped from heaven into the tens of thousands of Israelites while they were wandering in the desert. The word manna means prepare, because they said it was prepared in heaven and then sent down to the Israelites. And manna is even described like our white stone, to be brilliantly white, almost bright in its color. And if you have a hard time maybe grasping the idea of bread falling from the sky and feeding tens of thousands of Israelites in the desert and it disappeared every day, this is why in Unity and even some more progressive Christian faiths, we start looking at these kind of stories as they are, as allegories. In other words, stories with deeper meanings. So if we look at this with a deeper meaning, we know that metaphysically, manna means spiritual substance, spiritual sustenance. And like spiritual substance, manna was distributed. It says in Exodus, manna was distributed to everyone equally, the rich and the poor, the master and the slave. No one got more than anyone else. Kind of like spiritual substance. It's available to all of us equally. But there's something deeper than that, because Jesus referred to himself as the bread of life. And it says in John that Christ is the one true manna. Christ is the true manna. So imagine Jesus saying this to you. Beloved child, each time you conquer jealousy, hatred, judgment, sense attachment, each time you overcome an error thought or bad habit, I will reveal more of myself to you. I will give some of the hidden manna. So this might be the only reference in the entire Bible. This is the only reference in the entire Bible to a white stone. But we do have several instances of name changes that occur in the Bible. And of course, the best known is this gentleman. When Saul of Tarsus changed to Paul, the Apostle Paul. And you may have imagined that Saul was given this name after his conversion experience on the way to Damascus, when his eyes were opened after 3 days being blind. Ananias came and the scales fell off his eyes, and he opened his eyes and he became Paul. But the truth is, Paul is Saul's middle name. He was born with it. He had it all his life. It was his middle name. It was his Roman name. And Saul himself chose to change his name to Paul sometime later on in his first missionary journey across the Roman countryside to convert the Gentiles. So he thought that it would be more convincing to the Gentiles if he used his Roman name. So he changed it to Paul himself. So like our entertainers, Saul decided to use a name that represented an image he wanted to project. But of course, there's also a deeper significance to this name change. Saul in Hebrew means personal will, stubbornness, being stuck. Whereas Paul, on the other hand, means enlightened will. So Saul willingly changed his name to represent a new way of being for himself. He was to release his personal will, which had persecuted Christians most of his adult life. He was born about the time Jesus died. When he was born, that's all he knew, was the Jews persecuting the Christians. And he willingly changed his name from personal will to enlightened will, to embody this enlightened will, which is to preach the gospel of love and compassion. However, the earliest instance of a name change occurs in the Bible very early on with these two, Abram and Sarai. Now, Abram and Sarai were in their 90s when God chose them to birth a new nation. It happens pretty early on. This is in Genesis 17:5. And he tells them that he's going to give them a new name, and they are going to be the parents, the father and mother of a new nation. He said, Abram, I'm changing your name to Abraham. And Sarai, you would become Sarah. Now, where Abram meant exalted father, Abraham means father of a nation, father of a multitude. Now, Sarai meant argumentative, quarrelsome. But Sarah means woman of high esteem or princess. So for Abraham and Sarah, these new names given to them by God redefined their purpose. It was not only an intention for them, but it was a title. It was a way of being they would embody. They would be the mother and father of a new nation. But ladies and gentlemen, I discovered an even deeper meaning to their name changes, a hidden code uncovered after centuries, revealed to you this morning. And here it is. God added the A-H for Sarai to become Sarah. And he added the H-A for Abram to become Abraham. See where I'm going? That's right. The world's first recorded aha. And you heard it first here. So, ladies and gentlemen. So although the white stone ceremony, the white stone does not appear anywhere else in Scripture, Bible scholars tell us that back in Jesus' time, when you were released from prison, you were given a white stone. And this was just their way of saying, you've done your time, you've paid your debt, you're free from any condemnation. This white stone symbolized freedom to them. It proved that they had been released legally and that they were free from their past. So to them, this white stone, and you can imagine the white stone or whatever you're holding now, represents freedom, a clean slate to begin a new life. But there is nothing said about the prisoners putting a name on their white stone. There's nothing said about them being given a white stone that already had their name written on it. So before we go into our white stone ceremony, let's look at that scripture again. I will give a white stone, and on the white stone is written a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it. So, you know, we know that Jesus is not speaking to people who've just been released from prison. He was speaking to everyone in the churches. So that we can assume in this context that the white stone is not a literal stone, but it's a symbol of inner transformation. We could say that each of us is bound by our own erroneous thinking, false limitations, our own beliefs, our old beliefs, our victim consciousness, and so on. But when we wake up and realize we're spiritual beings having a human experience, we are set free. When we discover more of our divine inner selves, we are set free. We might even say that we are made new. We have a new identity, a new name. The scripture was for those who would free themselves from personal will or ego and rise in consciousness to enlightened will, or the way of God. So if you've already thought of a name that you want to write on your stone, I would ask that you kind of suspend attachment to that word for now and allow the name, quality, or intention you're going to write on your stone to be given to you from your Christ center during our meditation and ceremony. It may turn out to be the same word you thought of, but a lot of times you'd be surprised at what bubbles up from spirit when you're in that deep dark, in that deep light place of connection. So a few days ago, we had the dissolving bowl ceremony, and that was for you to release that which no longer serves you. See, these two ceremonies go hand in hand, just like a denial and an affirmation. Think about pulling weeds from your garden as being your burning bowl. You're getting rid of stuff you don't want. What happens if you don't plant something in its place? The weeds grow back. So the white stone ceremony is about replacing that, releasing what did not serve you, and now replacing that with a new way of being, some new, more enlightened way of being. So I want you to open yourselves up now to receive your name. Receive the hidden manna prepared for you in heaven and given to you from Christ, the bread of life. Receive the power of your new name, known only to you, that will be your touchstone throughout the year to guide your decisions, your actions, and a name that you will commit to live and exemplify. So we're going to start our ceremony, and I'd like to sing into our white stone ceremony with our meditation song, Flow Through Me. So Lily? So wherever you are, wherever you're sitting, I'd ask that you just get very comfortable. Close your eyes. And of course, begin to breathe. And when we say to breathe, we're really saying to bring your attention to your breath. Breath is the first thing you do when you come into this world. It's the last thing you do before you leave it. It's what connects us. The air that we breathe is imbibed, imbued with the spirit of God. The Easterners call it prana. So with every breath you breathe in, just allow yourself to be totally relaxed and at ease. Trust in the perfection of creation and surrender into this moment. Behold the divine order that has unfolded in your life, leading you up to this very breath. Consider who it is that you have come into this moment to be, and say to yourself now, I surrender my will to the one will. I allow my life to unfold as it should. I allow my life to unfold as it should. Breathe deeply once again. And as you inhale now, follow that breath into your heart space. Allow the energy of spirit that infuses the air we breathe to quicken your heart, harmonize your mind. You are now at a turning point, ready to be released from anything that might bind you. You are ready to be set free into the best year of your life. From this place of connection to your divine center, I'd like for you now to just visualize yourself sitting in a bright grassy field high upon a hill. The sun's warming your face, and you feel the warmth and love of the Christ residing in your heart. Let every inhale be an invitation to the divine, and every exhale be a surrender. With every inhale, invitation, and every exhale, surrender more and more of your individual will to the one will. And as you sit on this beautiful hill, you look out into the distance, and you see appearing from a soft mist, you see a figure approaching you, surrounded by light. And as this figure gets closer, you see that it's Jesus. The closer he gets to you, the more you feel that warmth of spirit radiating from your heart, connecting you to him. You're looking now directly into his eyes. You're feeling that peace. peace that passes all understanding. You're allowing the unconditional love to permeate every cell of your being. This is your moment. This is your opportunity to ask the Master a question. Take a deep breath as you look directly into the eyes of the Divine and ask, what name, what quality or intention is mine to bring into expression this year? What is mine to bring into expression this year? What aspect of my divine identity is longing to more fully express? And with your next exhale, your mind becomes completely blank, and you see that Jesus is leaning over to whisper something into your ear. The sound of his voice just sends chills through your body. You feel yourself filled with warmth as he speaks a word into your being, a word or a name that expresses Spirit's highest intention for you. Relax, breathe, stay with it, and listen now for the voice of the Christ in the silence. Slowly now, bring your attention back to this present moment, wherever you are. And when you're ready, open your eyes and write on your white stone the quality word or name that was whispered in your ear from your deepest part of your being. Receive this name, known only to you. And we'll pause for just a minute or so for you to write. I invite you now to put your stone somewhere where you can see it daily. Let it remind you of the potential that is waiting to come forth from you this year. If you have any doubts, just go back to that place, that moment in meditation today, where the voice of the Christ whispered this word into your ear. And know that the word or name you've written on your stone has come to your awareness to be lived into being. You would never be led to do something that wasn't possible for you. Think of this as your act as if word for the new year, the word that you'll seek to exemplify each day until it reaches full expression in you. Divine Spirit, we are grateful for the guidance that flows through our beings. We are grateful for this time of personal realization. We are grateful for one another as we step into a new adventure, a new year together. A year filled with commitment, immeasurable joy, and an abundance of all things. And a commitment to get her done in 2021. And so it is. Amen.